this message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As I mentioned earlier today, I continue my sermon series in the book of Romans, and the text for today's sermon is Romans chapter 14. Now, in this chapter, Paul shows us Christians how we should love one another in matters of adiaphora. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. What in the world does Pastor mean by that word, adiaphora? Good question. Simply put, that word adiaphora comes from the Greek language, and it is a technical term used by theologians to refer to matters of indifference. In other words, adiaphora refers to things that are neither commanded nor forbidden by God. And so we are free to not do them or to do them with a clean conscience. For example, God does not command Christians to live in North Dakota, nor does he forbid Christians to live in North Dakota. We're free to choose. God does not command us to drive a Ford, nor does he forbid us to drive a Ford. We're free to choose. God does not command us to eat pork, nor does he forbid us to eat pork. We're free to choose. And finally, God does not command us to drink beer, nor does he forbid us to drink beer. We're free to choose as long as we don't drink too much or become intoxicated, and as long as we respect the law of our nation, which says you have to be 21. So, when you hear someone use that fancy word, adiaphora, you know what it means now. Adiaphora are things that are neither commanded nor forbidden by God. We are free to not do them or to do them with a clear conscience. However, having said that, in some situations, the Christian decision on how to use adiaphora is not always that simple. For example, let's say that you're a Lutheran and you know that God does not forbid you to drink beer. So on hot summer nights, you sometimes sit in your backyard and enjoy a cold bottle of beer. But let's say your next door neighbor, who is a fellow Christian, sees what you're doing. But this Christian was taught that drinking even one beer is a sinful thing for a Christian to do. So when he sees you drinking that cold beer, he thinks like this: wow, if my neighbor, who is a Christian, can sin against God by drinking a beer, I guess I can sin against God by drinking a beer too. Then your neighbor starts drinking beer, even though he thinks it's sinful, and in doing so, he willingly rebels against something that he thinks God forbids. Now, what should you do in such a case? Well, if you know that your neighbor is leading a sinful life because of your example, if you know that your neighbor thinks it's all right to sin based on what you're doing, then it would be best to stop drinking beer until you have a chance to explain to this person from Holy Scripture that you were not willingly sinning against God by drinking beer, but instead you were doing something that God allows. In other words, you refrain from a behavior that's causing your neighbor to stumble until you have a chance to explain to him what you were doing and why. You see, if a person thinks that drinking beer is a sin, then for him to drink a beer would be a sin, because in his heart, he would be drinking beer in open rebellion against God. And that's exactly what Paul means at the very end of today's reading when he writes, "Everything that does not come from faith is sin." What that means is that if you think in your heart that a certain behavior is sinful, then for you, such a behavior is sinful, and for you to do that behavior would be a rebellious act against what you think is God's will for your life. In today's reading, Paul teaches that loving other Christians includes two things. First, loving other Christians means building them up in their faith. And secondly, loving other Christians means not doing anything that would lead them to turn away from Christ. In today's reading, Paul deals with a real life problem in this area that was taking place in the Church of Rome. Except in their case, it was not over the issue of drinking beer. Instead, it was over the issue of eating certain kinds of meats. What was the situation? Well, there were some Jewish Christians in Rome who thought it was sinful to eat certain kinds of meat, like pork. Why did they think that way? Well, if you read the Old Testament, you will find that there was a time in history when God forbid his people Israel to eat certain kinds of meat, including pork. But why? Well, first of all, you have to understand this command was not given to all people of all times and places. So if you weren't a Jew, it was perfectly fine for you to eat pork. You see, this command to not eat pork was given only to God's Old Testament people, Israel. And it was given only for a temporary period of time. Now, you might wonder, why would God give them this prohibition in the first place? Well, this was one of the ways that God made Old Testament Israel stand out as a unique nation in the world. And what was God's reason for doing that? Well, he wanted the eyes of the world to beam on Israel because he had entrusted his word to Israel, and that word pointed ahead to the Savior of all nations who would come into the world through Israel's family line. And so God gave Israel various laws to make them a unique people so that the eyes of the world would be on them. However, once God's Son came into this world and finished his work, the purpose of Israel as a unique nation ceased to exist. Therefore, after Jesus finished his work, God no longer forbid the Jews to eat certain meats. After Jesus finished his work, Jews were free to eat any meat with a clear conscience. You might remember in the book of Acts the vision that God gave to Peter. Peter was on his roof taking a nap, and God gave him a vision where a blanket of unclean meats was lowered down. And God says to Peter, "Get up and eat." And Peter says, "No, Lord, I will never eat anything unclean and sin against your will." And God says, "Wait a minute, Peter, this is me talking to you. Do not call unclean what I have declared to be clean." Now, with that understood, we're ready to realize what the problem was at the Church of Rome. You see, there were some Jewish Christians who did not yet understand that God had removed the prohibition against eating certain kinds of meats. There were some Jewish Christians in Rome who believed in Jesus, but they also believed that it was a sin to eat pork. So in their minds, eating pork would be a direct rebellion against God. On the other hand, there were some other Jewish Christians in the same congregation who did understand that they were now free to eat pork. And so they would gladly sit down in public and devour a pork chop with a clear conscience. Sadly, though, this second group of Jewish Christians was not acting in love. Why? The reason is that they were giving their fellow Jewish Christians, the ones who believed it was a sin to eat pork, they were giving these other Jewish Christians the impression that it was now okay to rebel against God and get away with it. And they were thereby damaging the faith of their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So in today's reading, Paul tells the Jewish Christians who know that it's perfectly acceptable to eat pork, he tells them to refrain from eating certain meats if eating certain meats will lead their fellow Christians to think that it's okay to do something that God forbids. You see, the goal would be this. The Christians who know that they can eat all kinds of meats, they will refrain from eating certain meats until they have a chance to properly educate their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that the Bible does indeed allow us to eat pork. That way, they will realize that when they were eating pork, they were not willingly sinning against God. They were doing something that they knew God allowed them to do. But they will refrain from eating pork until they have a chance to show from Scripture to their brothers that it was okay for them to do that. Now, with all that understood, we need to get down to the basic point that Paul is making here. His basic point is this. Whether we're talking about eating certain kind of meats, whether we're talking about drinking beer, or whether we're talking about any other kind of adiaphora, the point is that God wants to think about how our behavior affects the spiritual lives of those around us. You see, in America, we tend to live as isolated individuals, and we think of ourselves only very often. But the Bible says we should be concerned about those around us, especially as a body of believers. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we should be concerned if our behavior is leading a brother or sister in Christ astray. In other words, Christ's love for us moves us to consider the needs of our fellow Christians, especially their spiritual needs. We would never ever want to do anything that would lead fellow Christians to think that it's okay to sin against God. That's why Paul writes these words. He says, if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Now with that understood, there are still two other things that we can learn from today's reading. First, what should you do if a fellow Christian condemns you for doing something that you know from Scripture God allows you to do? In other words, what if your behavior is not resulting in another Christian thinking it's okay to sin? What if instead a fellow Christian comes to you and condemns you for something that you know God does not condemn? Well, in such a case, Paul writes these words. He says, the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. Simply put, we should not allow a fellow Christian to condemn us for something that we know God does not condemn. Let me use the beer example again to illustrate this. Let's say that you're drinking the beer in your backyard one evening because you know, based on Holy Scripture, that God allows you to do this in moderation. But one night your Christian neighbor walks over to you and he says, I love Jesus. That's why I don't drink beer. But you are sinning against Jesus by drinking that beer. You need to repent or you're going to hell. What should you do in that case? Well, in that case, you would say, listen, I really do appreciate your concern. I'm glad you care enough about me that you don't want me to go to hell. But you need to know something. I would never want to do something that would be deliberately a sin against God. And if I did, I'd feel guilty, I'd ask Jesus for forgiveness, and I'd try to stop doing it. You need to realize I'm not drinking this beer because I'm telling God to take a hike. I'm drinking this beer because I understand from Holy Scripture that this is a gift that God allows me to enjoy without any guilt whatsoever. So I'm not sinning against God, and I'm not going to hell. You see, in this case, you would be correcting your fellow Christian and helping him to avoid becoming a self-righteous Pharisee who judges people and tells them they're sinning when in fact they're not. Do you see the difference now on how you deal with matters of adiaphora? It depends on the situation. So on the one hand, if your behavior is leading another Christian to think that it's okay to sin, then it would be best for you to cease that behavior, even though God permits it, until you have a chance to explain to your brother from Scripture that you really weren't sinning, you were doing something that God allows. On the other hand, though, if a fellow Christian condemns you for a behavior that God permits, then you should continue to keep on doing that permitted behavior and show from Scripture that your fellow Christian is wrong for condemning you for something that God permits. Finally, there's one other thing we do need to learn from today's reading, and that is this. Sadly, there are some in our world today who misinterpret Paul's words in today's reading and use that misinterpretation of Paul's words to affirm things that God clearly does teach are sinful. For example, there are some Christians today who wrongly want to justify or affirm such sinful things as abortion, or sex before marriage, or homosexuality. And they will justify this by quoting these words of Paul from today's reading. Here's the words they'll quote out of context. Who are you to judge? Each one should be firmly convinced in his own mind. Let us stop passing judgment on one another. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. Sadly, some Christians in liberal denominations have taken these words of Paul out of context, and they use them to teach that as long as a person thinks that what they're doing is okay, then for them it's okay, regardless of what God's word says. And so we should never judge anybody for what they're doing as long as they think what they're doing is okay. But that is not what Paul is teaching at all. If you look at the very beginning of Romans chapter 14, what does he say? He talks about how we should deal with matters of indifference, disputable matters, matters of adiaphora. In other words, Romans chapter 14 is not saying, hey, if somebody thinks what they're doing is okay, then it's okay, even if God's word says it's a sin. That's not what Paul is saying here. Romans chapter 14 is about adiaphora, things that the Bible neither condemns nor commands. You're free to do them or not to do them. That's what Romans chapter 14 is about. However, Paul would never, ever want us to overlook or affirm a fellow Christian's sinful behavior, a sinful behavior that is clearly condemned by God's word. Therefore, we cannot use Romans chapter 14 to suggest that Christians should not confront each other about sin as long as a Christian thinks that what they're doing is okay. That's a total distortion of what Scripture teaches. In fact, all you have to do is read Romans chapter 1, and you will see that Paul clearly condemns people for various behaviors that are clearly condemned as sin by God's word. In fact, one way we Christians love one another is when we hold each other accountable and correct each other when we are involved in sinful behavior. For example, in Galatians chapter 6, listen to what Paul writes. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Also, at the end of the book of James, we read, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. In closing, the whole point of today's reading is that Christ's love for us moves us to love one another. And according to today's reading, loving one another includes three things. First, we should be willing to refrain from certain behavior, even though God says it's okay, if we know that that behavior is leading another Christian to think that it's okay to sin. Second thing we learn, we should be willing to continue a certain behavior that God allows if a fellow Christian is wrongly condemning us for that behavior. Then we need to continue the behavior and show him his error. Thirdly, we should be willing to reach out to a fellow Christian who's caught in a sin and use Holy Scripture to show them their sin so that they can repent and trust in Jesus for forgiveness and rely on him to lead a new life. Now, having said all of that, if you're like me, you have failed at all three of these. When I look at my 48 years of life, I hang my head in shame. There have been times when my behavior has been a bad example for others. There have been times when I allowed people to unjustly criticize me, even though I knew what I was doing was permitted by God. And I have also failed to correct a fellow Christian's error and restore them, even though I knew that what they were doing was damaging their relationship with Christ. We do not always love each other as we ought. But the good news I have for you today is that Jesus loves you with a perfect love. Jesus exposes our sin because he loves us. And he points us to the cross where that sin was dealt with because he loves us. And the forgiveness and love that he gives us sets us free to love one another as he loves us. Even though we have failed to love one another as we ought, we can come to God with those sins and know that we are completely and totally forgiven because Jesus dealt with those sins on the cross. And that good news, that forgiveness, sets us free to begin to strive to love one another as Christ already perfectly and completely loves us. So dear friends in Christ, leave today knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you are loved perfectly by God in Jesus Christ. And his forgiveness and love for you will set you free to love one another. And one of the ways we love one another is by building them up in their faith and not doing anything that would lead them away from Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.